Hello, everyone. I wanted to look at the way our thinking can be perverted by the enemy and what we can do about it. In the news recently, Afghanistan tells us we live in perilous times. Just as the Roman Empire declined, we are seeing the Western world in decline. And what is the nature of the hidden warfare going on? We have discussed the activities of the Antichrist spirit and the enemy's attempt to destroy God's people. We've looked at Islam, communism, humanism, Nazism, all these things that would stand against the worship of the living God. Spiritual warfare is at the root of all things going on the earth today, because we have an enemy who wants to be worshipped. And who we worship determines where we go in life. Satan, the usurper, wants to be the one you worship. Matthew 4:9. Again, the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and obey only him. Only him shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." We go back to Egypt in the book of Exodus, chapter 4 and verse 22. God is instructing Moses what he is to do, what he is to say to Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh in this analogy represents Satan. He's the physical embodiment of all that he stands for in the earth, an idolatrous worshiper of all that opposes the living God. "Thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. I told you, let my son go so that he may worship me or serve me or sacrifice to me. But you refuse to let him go. Now I will kill your firstborn." You see, there's the origins of the Bible account has to do with the two lines that emerge out of the human race. One being the seed of Seth and the other the seed of Cain. We have, even at the beginning of the book, that warfare where Cain kills Abel and then Seth replaces Abel as the seed through which the anointed one will travel until he becomes Jesus of Nazareth. There is this struggle from the very beginning. Galatians 5:1 tells us to plant our feet firmly within the freedom that Christ has won for us, and do not let ourselves be caught again in the shackles of slavery like they were in Egypt. Now we come to the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3, again the question being, who will you serve? Who will you worship? Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Of course, the devil is a liar from the beginning. I want to look at Genesis 2 now, in light of these two trees in the garden, and in the context of what we're talking about regarding how we walk in the earth today. Genesis 2 and verse 8, "The Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And the Lord God commanded, verse 16, the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now we see the command here is clearly not to eat of it. It says nothing about touching it. And of course, that's what Eve, being deceived, added to what God had said, which tricked her and deceived her. A tree is known by its fruit. That's what it says in Luke 6:44. Each tree is known by its own fruit, for men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Now I want to compare these two trees and the choices that are made by mankind, whether to eat of one or the other. And so let's trace this down as if we had a choice. Starting with the tree of life, if we ate of the tree of life, we live forever. We get eternal life. I want to come back to this thought that the tree of life is best evidenced at this time by the work of the cross. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is temporary knowledge and brings with it death. It may be very tempting, it may be very exciting to know all the things that could come to a person, such as Adam and Eve immediately knew they were naked, but it leads to death. The tree of life is perceived through faith. It enables us to trust. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil gives us mind power and evil imaginings and the ability to pursue all manner of wickedness. The tree of life gives us perseverance. We're able to wait for Messiah because we've eaten of the tree of life. Whereas with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we're in a hurry to possess all that we can while we're alive in the earth. The tree of life brings a revelation of God's will, so that we begin to understand the purpose of God in all of creation. The tree of knowledge of good and evil brings self-exaltation and faith in man rather than faith in God. The tree of life enables to walk the narrow way. It enables us to walk the narrow way. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the broad way, which leads to destruction. The tree of life enables us to walk in humility through grace. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, with it comes pride, arrogance, and the evil way. With the tree of life, we have a desire for our beloved Jesus. With the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a desire for power. In fact, to be God, to be self-exalting, to see ourselves at the center of things, or perhaps worship a man or some form of idolatry. With the tree of life, we want to be like Christ himself walking in the earth. With the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we learn the serpent's way. To be Christ-like is to follow. To be the serpent's way is to rebel and to be antichrist. One of the precious things about the tree of life is that it enables us to be thankful, whereas the tree of knowledge of good and evil is always finding things to complain about, to be unthankful. With the tree of life, we become reverent. We fear God, as opposed to being irreverent and disdainful of God. With the tree of life, there is holiness and innocence and a clear conscience, as opposed to profane, perverse, and dirty-minded. The tree of life is the ability to build up others, to enjoy the kingdom of God, whereas with the other comes a rebuilding of Babel and the Babylonish system in the earth. The tree of life is a way of peace. It does not love violence. The tree of life brings light. not darkness. It brings organic relationships within the tent of David, within the church of the living God, as opposed to being dependent upon techno-mechanical and relating to people constantly through technology. The tree of life, when we eat of it, we become a child of God, part of his family, as opposed to being a son of perdition. It brings us to the cross, and in fact, I think, is the cross in this life, instead of to self-enhancement and self-enlightenment. It brings love, genuine love that lays down its life for others, as opposed to fear, and especially the fear of death. So in Genesis 3:24, it says that he drove the man out of the garden, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. In other words, when Adam was cast out, he had no further access to the tree of life. In Genesis 2:4, the serpent says to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so, really, what they find out is the way to death and being excluded from the ability to get back to this heavenly place, which the Bible calls paradise. Psalm 1:3, which I love so much, says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Speaking of the man who now, through pursuing the Savior, begins to partake of living water, begins to produce real fruit in his life. And of course, speaking of wisdom in Proverbs 3:18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. These are implications of what could happen to a person when they make the choice for one or the other. The real tree of life we see at the end of the book of Revelation. It's an actual tree that people eat of for the healing of the nations. But when you look in effect at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, it takes us through faith from death into life. It takes us from control of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to the influence of the tree of life. And I think it's a very real thing if you think about it carefully. Jesus said in John 8:42, "If God were your Father, you would love me," speaking to this Antichrist group of Pharisees. "For I come from God, and I'm here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." Because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. "Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." So here Jesus shows that there are children of God and children of the devil. There are children who want to eat of the tree of life, and there are children who want to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and get the temporary sense of power that comes from that. And I think you can see that operating in life today on the earth, in this cosmos, in this world system today. So with all this going on, and we started with mentioning Afghanistan just as such a horrific example of all that we hate to see, and why we so desire Jesus to return and rule the earth, and why we are so incompetent to rule the earth without him. What are we to do? Psalm 28:8 tells us he is the saving refuge of his anointed. He is a saving refuge of his anointed. Psalm 31:20, "You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. The pride of man, the arguing, backbiting tongue is, these are the things that God can keep us from as we pursue the tree of life, as we pursue his way, as we pursue the kingdom of God. No matter where you are, there is a place of abiding. It could be a public place, it can be a prison, it can be before thousands, it can be in your closet. There is a hiding place, and Corrie Ten Boom taught us that. She was in prison because she cared for the Jews. Her family did. But in the midst of the horrible place, she and her sister found the refuge. They found the hiding place. Colossians 3 tells us, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, here we are in the midst of the spiritual warfare in the earth, and we're called to be overcomers. Revelation 12:7 says, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. And of course, this is the same dragon, Satan, that we've been talking about from the beginning. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Could that be accounting for the extreme wickedness we see in the earth? Can you imagine if that was removed from the earth and replaced by the rule of the King of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, what the difference would be? Do you long for that in your life? Well, that gives you strength to overcome him by receiving the sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb of Jesus on the cross, by testifying to what he's doing in your life, and to not love your own life so much that you want to do anything to escape from death, because death is the doorway to life. The victory is at the cross. The victory is at the tree of life. Colossians 2:14, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance is of Christ. There we are, going down the road when someone tells us about the cross. They explain to us that all the wickedness we have done can be nailed to the cross, and the blood of Jesus can cover that wickedness and wash it away. And as we have faith in him, we too can be like him. We can die with him to sin and the destructiveness of death and rise with him to a new life. A entirely new creation in him. And that's freely given to us if we believe. We have freedom then from guilt for things that we have done. We are forgiven. We have freedom from bondage to demonic powers. Their hold on us is broken through this mighty sacrifice. We have freedom from fleshy regulations, taste not, touch not, putting on hair shirts like some do to somehow mortify the flesh. All of that, we're freed from all that kind of thinking, because the real source of the change is this tree of life, this cross, upon which Jesus died to bring us to the actual tree of life. Scripture tells us in Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. There is no work to make this thing become possible. It is the work of believing. This is the work of God, to believe on him that the Father has sent. John 6:29, set your mind on things above. Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So I want to conclude with how we would approach partaking of the life of Christ at the communion table. And he says here in 1 Corinthians 10:21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. They don't edify. They're not expedient. So while there are many choices available to us that may kind of slide us over to that tree of knowledge and good and evil, he's saying, while there is the freedom to kind of look at that, it's not helpful. It won't build you up. So when you really refine what he's saying here is, choose the tree of life. Choose the way of life. Choose the narrow way and pray that God help you to do that continually. And one day we will see him face to face. And we will see him and we will be like him. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. May you be mightily blessed, brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name.